Okay, in this week's parasha, Perakei Pasuk Vav. Dabar Bnei Yisrael Ish Oyisha Ki Yasu Mikol Chatois Adam Limol Ma'al Ba'Hashem. To my person, let's bring a Korban Osham. What's it referring to? It's talking about Gezel Hager. So Sipporan had a question over here. If it's talking about somebody stole from a ger, why does it write Limol Ma'al Ba'Hashem? It wasn't against the Rebbeinu Shlomo, it was against a person. So he says a very important yesod in life over here. He says an important yesod. He says that when this person stole from a ger, this ger was a goy. He was living a very free life. And then he saw Yiddishkeit, he saw Judaism. And he felt, wow, they live such spiritual lives, such moral lives. I want to join that nation. He joins that nation, and what does he see? Somebody comes and steals from him. There's an unbelievable Chilul Hashem over here. Besides the chet you stole from somebody, is Limol Ma'al Ba'Hashem, says the Sipporno. Ki omnom ha-goyz lo'isai, mechalul shem alekov, be'eni hager, he came to join Klal Yisrael because of the milers of Klal Yisrael. And imagine how he looks at it now. And this is, you'll say, what's it got to do with you? You're not stealing from any ger. It's very nagir to us. Because you're davening in a shul. And in that shul there's somebody who became a Baal Tshuva. And he sees in the shul people talking in Kaddish. He can't believe it. He thought these people, Hasha people, these are people who respect the place where they worship. And they're talking? It's beyond him, such a thing. It creates a Chilul Hashem. If Yeshiva Bocha acts in a certain way, and people see, who are not, don't live lives like that. They look at it, that's how Yeshiva boys act. It can create an unbelievable Chilul Hashem. We have to take this to heart. We have in this week's parasha Birchas Kohanim. And the Gemara says, Koyis Avaruch Es Bnei Yisrael, this is how you bless Klal Yisrael, B'Loshna Kodesh, Koyis Avaruch, like this, in Loshna Kodesh. So Gemara in Soita Lamed Ches. Tosfos asks there, why is Birchas Kohanim Dafka in Loshna Kodesh? You can bench in any language. Why can't you give a bracha also, Brachas Kohanim, in any language? Also, why is it B'loshen Yochid? When Kohanim Duchen, they're talking to the Rabbim. So why is it Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha? Why singular? And thirdly, it ends off V'ani Avarechim, which Chazal explained, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his maskim agrees with their bracha, is going to give the bracha too. What is the pshat in that? So explains the Ksav Sefer, that the bracha that's being given in Birchas Kohanim is not Yivarecha, bless you. That's what you say when you blow your nose, bless you, when you sneeze. Bless you, Yivarecha means much more than bless you. Yivarecha, the Medrash explains, Yivarecha means b'mamon, with money. Yivarecha means b'bonim, with children. There are different meanings. All the words in Birchas Kohanim have more than one meaning. There's a list of brachas there. But that is only true is if you're saying it in Lashon HaKodesh. Because that word, Yivarecha, includes in it many, many different brachas. If you say it in English, bless you, it means, doesn't mean anything else. Every person in life has different needs. Like I said, there's one boy in my class, he has three things he needs in life. They are money, money, money. That's the three things that he needs. That's what he thinks about all day. So everybody has different needs in life. Some people, it's also three needs, Torah, Torah, Torah. Everybody's got their needs in life. So when the Kohanim give a bracha, Yivarechecha, each person is getting a very specified bracha. The Kohanim give this general one, but it's very specific for each person what they need. One person children, one person money, Torah, whatever you need. So Yivarechecha is singular. That's why it's singular, because each person according to what they need. And that is why at the end, it's V'ani Avarechim, the Pasuk says, that Kodesh Baruch Hu be maskim with the bracha. The Kohen is doing general. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come and now specify to each person to get exactly according to their needs. there's a kasha of why is it dafka the koinim give the bracha? Why is it koinim? You can go to anybody can give a bracha. What is so special? The koin can be a koin amoritz. So why is that koin given the bracha? So I saw from Rav Volkin, who wrote the Beis Aharon, he says, pshat is, with a marasho in Soita Lamed Ches. The bracha of Berachas Koinim ends off, Levorach is Amo Yisrael, be Ahava, with love. Why does it end, the marasho says, with love? So he explains, an important yisoid in brachas. If ever you give a bracha to anybody, you have to know how to give a bracha. He says, a bracha is chal according to the kavana of the mevorich. So it's important that the bracha is given by ayin toiva. It's given with lev shalim, with rotzen. That the person really wants the bracha to take effect. That's when a bracha works. So since it's dependent on the rotzen and the mevorich, so it makes sense, you say it, the kohen has to love each person to give a full bracha. It says ba'avo, you have to give it with love. That's how the bracha will work. For the same reason, it makes sense why the kohenim give the bracha. You want him to do it with a full heart. Where does the kohen get his parnasa from? From Klal Yisrael. So the more Klal Yisrael have, the more they're going to give the kohenim. If they have more animals to give matnas kuna from, more tvua to give truma from, so the more Klal Yisrael get, more Klal Yisrael have, the more they will have. So when a kohen gives the bracha, he has self-interest in the bracha. He wants the person to be successful. So it makes sense kohenim give the bracha, because they will give the bracha with a full heart, because they really want you to be matzliach. Because they gain every time you gain. So dafka kohenim give the bracha, because they will give it with much more of a heart than somebody else. Somebody else won't care so much. Which, I added to that, something negeil amaisa. In benching, when you have guests, very often, some say, some don't say, there's a yirotzing, which today is imprinted in most of the benches. 40 years ago, it wasn't. Yirotzen shlo yevoy shlo yikolim balabais, hazev, loibam hazev, olim abo. I'm sure you know this yirotzing. And then it says there, v'yatzliach b'chol nechosov. He should be masli, all his nechosim should have atzlocha. There are two gerasois in this yirotzen. I have in front of me the art scroll version. Our scroll is Yasliach Bechol Nechosov. I don't like this version. There's another version. You'll find in many other benches and sidurim. It says Yasliach V'yiyu Nechosov V'nechseinu Mitzlochim. Here it has V'yiyu Nechosov. His Nechosim should be successful, it says in our scrolls. The other Giris is Nechoseinu, my Nechosim, and his Nechosim should be successful. When I give somebody to bench in my house, and they're going to say this, I give them the bench that says he should at the same time be bespal for his own nechosim. Because when a person thinks of his own nechosim, shimotzlochim, he really means it. So therefore he says it for his own, then includes me at the same time. I'd much rather he's thinking about his own nechosim when he's giving this bracha. If he's just talking about mine, I don't know how much he cares. So it's kedai to make sure the person's saying it, that he includes it, so don't use the article version. Reb Chaim Veloshin, he has a difficulty with the Gemara. And Yis Hashem Ponavilecha, a famous Gemara you might know in Brochus, Dav Chof, that says, Shalu Malchi Ashores Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mibnei Ma'at Onois Uponim Yisrael, why do you grant favor to Klal Yisrael? The Torah says, Asher Lo Yisrael on him. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give favor, grant favor to people. Omalem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'heich Lo Yisrael upon him. How can I not grant favor to Klal Yisrael? Sha'ani kasavdi b'say rossi, I wrote the Torah. V'achalta v'savata v'irachta. You eat, you're satisfied, and you bench. When do you bench? Only when you have severe, when you're satisfied. V'hem adaktikim alatzman. They are machmir, they're adaktik. Ad kazayis ad kabeah. They already bench, they just eat kazayis ad kabeah, and they bench. So since they do extras, I do extras as well. So Rabbi Chaim Veloshin has an interesting diuk in the Gemara. Listen to the words of the Gemara. The Torah says, V'chalta v'savata v'rachta. V'hem adaktikim, they're adaktik, says the Gemara, two extra words. Al-atzma. Should say, they're adaktik, to bench even a gazayis, even a kabea. What's the words they're adakting? Al-atzma. Who else should be adaktik on? So he explains that sometimes a person does a chumrah, but that chumrah can cause a kula as well. And that is over here. If you bench on a gazayis, you bench on a kabea, what are you saying? That's called a suda already. That's a whole suda. I'm benching on a kazayas. I'm benching on a kebeah. So an oni comes to your house. He has nothing to eat. So you give him a kazayas. You give him a kebeah. That's a suda. I bench on that. You see, that's a suda already. So you'll use that as a way out of giving the oni of giving the oni a small amount of being cheap. So that's why it says in the Gemara, v'chalt v'svata. The Torah says, v'chalt v'svata. They're very careful. Al atznam, only negeir themselves. For other people, they're makpid on svia, that the oni should get enough to eat. For themselves, they bench already on the kazayas. Earlier on in the parasha, you have ish ish ki sister ishtoi. A person's wife becomes a soita. Rashi says, "Lama nischa parasha soita ve'ishes kadosh of lo yige." Why is the parasha of soita next to the parasha of matnos kuhuna? So Rashi says, "Im ata ma'akev hamatonis." If you hold back the matonis from the kohenim, soivcha shetitztarach lavi soita lekohen. If you don't come to the kohen when you're supposed to, it's a given the matonis you're supposed to give him. In the end, you're going to come to him. You'll have to bring your wife as a soita to the kohen. So choose which way you want to come to the kohen. Rather give your matnas kuna, otherwise you're going to land up with your wife as soita. So the ksav sefer asks, because you did a chet by not giving matnas kuna, so your wife is going to do a chet. She isn't going to become a soita? Ve'ein zeh medarkei Hashem. So he explains, a person whose wife becomes a soita, the normal thing is that he divorces his wife. He doesn't take up to Shlaim, to Bezdin, and have a drink. Because first of all, this woman, if she's drinking, it means he warned her, don't have yichud with people. Which means she was running around places she shouldn't be. Then, she had yichud with people. She had yichud with somebody. She did a chet for sure already. She had yichud with somebody she wasn't supposed to. So, yeah, maybe she was innocent in the room. We don't know, yes or no. So if she drinks the water, the seita waters, you could find out. But most husbands would rather not find out. He'll say, Kol tov, l'chaim el shalom, have a nice trip. I don't live with you anymore. Even if she turns out to be innocent at the end. The maisa, she's obviously no starker lady, right? There's not somebody you want to have for your partner in life till you build your bias name on B'Yisrael. So what's the pshat? Who's doing this? So he says, yes, sometimes it's going to happen. Because what happens is, a person who, he was very comfortable in life. He had a good pranos. And he got married, so he wrote a big suba. He wrote a big suba for his wife. And now he doesn't have money. So he can't divorce his wife. Because if a person divorces his wife, and really he could take her to drink, so she can say, I'm innocent. So he has to pay her a ksuba. If she refuses to drink, he could divorce her, and he doesn't pay ksuba. But he refuses to take her to drink, she gets a ksuba. What happens if he can't afford the ksuba? He has no choice. He can't divorce her. He has to take her to drink. So what the Pasuk is telling us is like this. That a person who doesn't give matnas kahuna, it's not telling us his wife will be a soita. What it's telling us, this person is going to become poor now. You don't give the matonis to the kohen, you also won't have money now. You're going to lose your panosa. You're not going to have money. And should your wife ever become a soita now? So the normal thing is, you would divorce your wife. But you won't be able to, because she has a big suba and you don't have the money. Someone like you is going to be forced to come to the kohen then. You won't have a choice to be able to divorce your wife, because you won't be able to afford to. So what the Torah really is telling us over here is not pshat that the person is going to have a wife, a soita, that either he will or he won't. It's telling us he'll become poor. And this is just a symbolism, a remez for it is, that if his wife becomes a soita, he'll be stuck with her. We have at the end of the parasha the karbonos of the Nesiim. And I'm sure you will enjoy being in shul when you have a bar mitzvah boy who learns it very slowly, all the karbonos, and you have to sit waiting for the kiddush for an extra half hour. I'm sure you've been through that. Much easier if you have a kiddush and the Bar Mitzvah has Vayelech and it's separate. It's hard by parashas Nosai to wait. So you think, why did they have to repeat every korban again and again and again? You got like 60, 70 psukim that are extra. Could have done in half a dozen psukim. So what's the pshat in it? So there's many different pshatim. The Medrash says, why does it repeat all the karbonis? She says, just like by the parasha of Eliezer, the whole story, how Avram asked him, he repeats over to Lavan and Besuel, the whole story how Avram sent him to find a wife for Yitzchak. And there's many psukim repeated over. It could have just said he told over what Avram said. It doesn't say that. It repeats all the psukim. And Chazal say why? Yofes ichos and shalav deyoves, b'toyros and shalbonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has more hanor from the talking of the oves than from the Torah of their children. So the Medrash says here too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such chaviva, such a love for the Nesiim, that each carbon gets mentioned separately. So what's the pshat that the Rebbein Shem loves these the Nesiim so much, the Kabbonis, the Nesiim? What is this love? So I thought perhaps you could say a pshat like this. In Parashas Vayakel, when everybody was donating for the Mishkan, it says, Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk of Zayin, Vayakel says, Vanesiim Heviu, the Nesiim brought, Amar Ibnosen, Maro Nesiim Lesnadev B'chanukas HaMezbech B'tchila. How come in this week's parasha and parashas Nosoi, the Nesiim brought their karbonos first? Over Melechas HaMishkan, lo yisnavnu b'tchila. By Melechas HaMishkan, they didn't bring first. Elekach omru Nesiim, yisnavnu tzibur, let the tzibur bring, and whatever's missing will bring. The tzibur brought everything in the end. There was nothing left to bring. So Nesiim said, what can we do? They brought the Avnei Shoyim. So over here, by the Chanukas HaMizbeach, in this week's parasha, they learned their lesson. First time they gave excuses and reasons why they were late, but somehow deep down there was some laziness. Chazal called it nis'atzlu. They were lazy. They lost one letter from the name. When it writes Vanesiim, it's written without a yud. Vanesiim ksiv without a yud. So we see they land up bringing the kabbalas first because they messed up last time. So I asked you, what is it that Rabban Shalom loves about the Nesiim so much? He cares about the Nesiim. He wants to repeat every carbon. And the answer is, in life, we all make mistakes. Well, at least most of us make mistakes. The Rebbein Shalom understands that. We're only human. And since we make mistakes, the Rebbein Shalom knows that, the Rebbein Shalom wants one thing from us. That we make a mistake, do tshuva, fix it up. There's no use crying over spilled milk. Don't be miyash, don't give up hope. Change it. We see by Cain invented the whole concept of karbonis. Imagine it, Zvochim and Nochis, he thought of the whole idea. And comes along Hevel and copies Cain. He brings a carbon. And what happens? Hevel's carbon is accepted, Cain's isn't accepted. Imagine how Cain feels. Now, don't you have empathy? Don't you feel for him? Poor Cain. He invented the whole idea and his is not accepted. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Cain, Lama Nofla Panecha? Why are you upset? What do you mean, why are you upset? It's perfectly understandable. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to him is, there's no point being upset. No use crying over spilt milk. Move on. Now do it right. Fix it up. That's what the Rebbein Shalom wants from us. That's the avoid HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. If somebody may have missed davening this morning, I noticed there was one or two people missed. Maybe those ones aren't here now. So make sure on Sunday morning you get the yeshiva on time for davening. Don't miss again. If you Chas V'Shalom came late. Whatever goes wrong in life, you can fix still. Your life is not over yet. You have a long life, Mr. Shem, left. Fix the mistakes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Karbonos and Nesiim. What happened? They made a mistake. They messed up when it came to donating for the Mishkan. The Fishan is Atzlu. They were lazy. They were lazy last time. They learned their lesson. They came back. They didn't just bring early. They were the first ones. They came rushing to bring. They learned a lesson. There's nothing the Rebbein Shalom loves more than a person who takes the lesson and fixes up what the problems were. And that is a special love that we see from the Nesiim in this week's parasha. Good Shabbos.